I want to speak for a little while, just a few moments this afternoon. You know, we make it a practice to pray for our children that they will find, that they will lead Christian lives and that they will find mates that are Christians and that they can raise families that are grounded in the Lord. We all want that for our children, for our grandchildren, because on this earth it makes for a much better, easier life and a life of purpose that ends with an everlasting home in heaven. But sadly to say, many times our young folk and they just look for love in all the wrong places, you know. Mentioned this to Brother Ian Jones, and I looked at him, and I said that some people just look for love in all the wrong places. And after the lesson was over, he told me, he said, the whole time during that whole sermon, all I could think about was Buckwheat singing Wookin' Pernub in all the wrong places. He's got one of those earworms. So I really want to get that out of your mind, and let's just think about this earth is not my home. We're just a passing through. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. That's C.S. Lewis. You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. That's Augustine. But these two statements are really drawing on Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. And it reads, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also He hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now it's curious that this word that's translated world in the King James Version is from the Hebrew word olam, which means the everlasting, the evermore, the eternity. God has placed that within our hearts. We're not meant for this world. I want to ask you, have you ever known a person that fits this description? Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake, I will seek it yet again. This is specifically speaking about alcohol. A drunkard. They have a good time. They do things that aren't right. And they wake up feeling terrible, but they'll seek it again. And a curious thing about this is, I know many of you have heard of Pavlov's dog. Anyway, in scientific studies, a dog, if you get a dog drunk, the next time you put alcohol in front of it, it'll shake like a and it'll run from it. And we inherited a dog at one time that its previous owner had got it drunk. You know. And that dog didn't want to be around any rubbing alcohol, anything. He just starts shaking, you know. But why do humans return to the same thing? And I'm not specifically speaking of only alcohol. I'm speaking of drugs. Talking of sexual immorality, I speak of people that are workaholics. They go to work, they'd rather be at work than with their family. They can't get enough of it. People that gather material goods and riches and can never get enough. Amass millions and millions and it's never enough. They have to have more. It's a curious thing to me. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 66. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. Basically, what we're talking about here is a hole, a void, that each and every one of us has felt at one time in his life, his or her life. If you're of the age of accountability, you were convicted at one time by the word of God to obey the gospel. And if you haven't obeyed the gospel, that void still exists. My question is, what do you fill that void with? It has to be filled. That hole. You know, got a friend that he goes out and spends $20,000 or $30,000 on paintings, and he'll bring them home and he'll hang them up, and he'll leave them up for 3 or 4 weeks, and he goes and takes them down and puts them in a shed, and then he goes out and buys another $20,000 or $30,000 piece of art and hangs it on the wall. And over and over, trying to fill a void that can't be filled. The void in all of us. Void, a vacuum, an emptiness, a nothingness, a blankness, a hole. Why is this void there? Why? Well, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We were created in the semblance and the likeness of God. What a blessing. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth. God gave man a purpose, to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish and subdue the earth. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. It was perfect. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, and the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. He gave a commandment, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But in Genesis chapter 3 and 4, we read of a woman and of Adam and Eve trusting their own hearts instead of the command of God. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shalt not surely die. For God hath known that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her heart, and he did eat. They followed their heart. They followed what they thought was right, what they desired. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. This is God speaking. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In the sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb there of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden, cherubims and flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of tree of life. That is where the hole entered into the world. The world is imperfect. It suffers. It longs to be restored to that paradise. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. Now this is a very sobering piece of scripture right here. Because I think about all the people in this world that pray to God, and their prayers are not heard. Did you realize that? How many millions and tens of millions of prayers are said, and God never hears them? John chapter 9 and verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. I want to take a look at the wisdom of the world. What the world says about following our hearts. And I want to tell you, this stuff right here is taught in schools, especially in college, the type of stuff we're going to read. Basically, it says, just trust your heart. Just follow your heart. Ralph Waldo Emerson, I studied him in college. They probably do it in high school or junior high now. Trust thyself. Every heart vibrates to that iron string. That iron string is independence. Being independent, trusting on self. Josh, you know who that is? Beyonce or Beyonce, how you say that? Yeah, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. She said, I don't have to prove anything to anyone. I only have to follow my heart and concentrate on what I want to say to the world. I run my world. Wisdom of the world. Carl Jung, now I've had this deal, ongoing discussion or argument with my son. He wants to be a psychology major. I tell him this is one of the big four they're going to teach you, Carl Jung. Your vision will become clear only when you look into your heart. Who looks outside dreams. Who looks inside awakens. That's where truth lies according to the world. George Michael, you'll never find peace of mind until you listen to your heart. Princess Diana, only do what your heart tells you. Celine Dion, my wife argues it's not one of her favorite singers, but it's one of her favorite songs, that little Titanic song. If you follow your dreams, it means you follow your heart. If you do follow your heart, I don't think you can go wrong. She never met me, I guarantee you that, because I followed my heart and I went way wrong. And each and every one of us, when we follow our heart, if our heart is not grounded in Scripture and God's Word, we're going to go wrong. Trusting our heart, this is what the Word says about trusting our heart. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is as deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what God says about the heart. King David was so concerned about the condition of his heart. This was his prayer. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. He wanted God to try his heart to see if he was right. I want to look at one of the examples in the Old Testament, King Solomon. Even secular sources, they've made a couple of Hollywood movies about King Solomon, the wisest king that ever lived. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. This is what King Solomon said. I said in mine heart, go to now. I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what is that good for the sons of men, which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. Made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water wherewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I have great possessions of great, small cattle above all were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of the kings of the provinces. I get me men singers, women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and I increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desires, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. This guy had it all. He had whatever woman he wanted. How many wives did he have? 100 wives at one time? I don't know. He had many wives. He had men singers, women singers. He had castles and gold and silver, and he was the man. He gave himself to drink. Whatever his heart wanted, he did it. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. That's what he found in the end. It was all vanity. It was worthless. Chapter 2 and verse 17. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Every desire that we follow is according to a fleshly, not according to God. It's in line with the world. That's what it ends with. It ends with, I hated life. You know, I probably told you all this story before. Good friend of mine, he got out there on dope and just went, destroyed himself, lost 80 pounds or 100, I don't know. He lost half his body weight. He looked like a skeleton. And he was just like at the end begging for money. This guy had the opportunity to make all kinds of money, and he just blew it on dope and begging for money. He was begging us for $20 in our dorm room. And I said, man, Jasper, what happened to you, dude? And he's just like, you know, I mean, this is the only thing that makes me forget for that long. You know, just make it stop. That dude hated life. He hated it. Life had become a burden to him. There's another way, the only way, to fill that cup. It'll never be empty. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Christ Jesus, that's the answer. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now as Christ Jesus you have sometimes we're far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. Christ, by his blood, his death upon the cross, eliminated that void. For he is our peace, and hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That's how we're filled. You see, because that hole that exists in every human, you can keep cramming money into it. You can keep cramming alcohol and drugs and whatever into this hole. And the curious thing about it is it seems like it fills it almost up, and then it evaporates and it's empty again. And you got to put more into it to get it back to that point. Until at some point, you can't do enough. You can't take enough dope. You can't commit enough sexual immorality. You can't commit enough sin. You can't pile up enough worldly possessions to fill that hole. It can't be filled. And that hole turns around and consumes you. And there's nothing left. That's the end product of it. Please get out your songbooks. Not only will Christ fill that hole in our hearts, I want to read the passage, Psalms 23. Most of y'all have it memorized. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Christ Jesus not only fills that void, we're overflowing. We cannot contain what Christ has done for us. That's how richly he blesses us.